We talked about different kinds of unwholesome talk, obscenity, profanity, words that tear down when the victim is not around, that we call gossip, and then finally words that tear down the victim but are spoken to their... I'm sorry, Karina. It's up to you. She's asking me, should I go home? Words that are that tear down, that are spoken directly to the victim, which we call verbal abuse. We talked about some of the ways to recognize that, different categories of verbal abuse, from withholding to discounting to making abusive jokes, accusing, blaming, judging, criticizing, and on down the line. And we noted that verbal abuse is not really an attempt to communicate legitimate information. It's just about controlling the other person. So, today, well, I want to touch on one more thing, and that is how to respond effectively to verbal abuse. How many of you have been in a situation where somebody was using words to try to put you in your place or control you or put you down? All right. Wilda, you're not listening? Good. Have you ever been in a place where somebody put you down with their words?
I likely have, but I choose not to
reply. I have enough of that. All right. I don't think that there's anybody on the planet. Well, I don't know, maybe some very young kids, all right, have not gone through that yet. But none of us with any measure of experience in our lives have avoided entirely being in a situation where somebody verbally abused us, even if it was a stranger. Now, hopefully, in most of those cases, you were able to do the healthy thing, which is, I'm not going to hang around here for this. And the other person got to experience the natural consequence, which is, oh, I have to enjoy my own miserable company for a while because I was rude to people. But in many cases, the person who is verbally abusive to you or I is someone near to us that we care about. It's not so easy to get away from. So how could I respond to somebody who maybe I can't or don't find it easy to just walk off and leave in a way that lets them know that I'm not terribly happy with what they've just done? But doesn't just get into a fight. The fact is, in every situation, the solution to verbal abuse is the same. The person needs to experience the natural consequences of mistreating someone and taking them for granted. They need to spend some time alone in their own company, deciding whether or not dominating you is worth the loneliness that it causes. Right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? That's the appropriate thing for someone to experience when they're rude and nasty. Unfortunately, verbal abuse becomes entrenched precisely because it's not so easy to let that happen in certain relationships. If the person who's abusing you also pays your salary, well, then it's not so easy to tell them cut it out. If the person who's abusing you pays for your groceries or fathers your children, or is your only friend at school. Now, I don't know if they really are your only friend at school, if they're being verbally abusive. I told you about a friend of mine who was just ragging on me and making fun of me in front of some other friends. And then when we were in private together, he said, oh, when I was making fun of you, I really didn't mean that. And if I ever do it again, I really don't mean it. Now, how was I supposed to take that? In other words, he wanted the privilege of dominating me and making me look bad so he'd look good in front of other people without ruining the friendship. Yeah. Anyway, was he my friend? Quite questionable. But, you know what my reaction to that was? Oh, okay. Because I thought, well, at least he cares about being my friend. And I was starving enough for friendship that it didn't occur to me, what a bad deal this was that he was offering me. All right? So it's harder in certain situations to give people that precious time alone to contemplate the state of their souls if we're intertwined with them. And we believe, even if we're mistaken, that we need our abusers and dare not offend them. So today I'm going to share with you some practical suggestions for how to respond effectively to verbally abusive words that may curtail the abuse or may help curtail the abuse and give you the best chance of maintaining the relationship. But I have to give a disclaimer or two before we go there. Because everybody who, for whatever reason, is speaking to you in a verbally abusive way gets to make up their own mind about what they're going to do. And even if you handle yourself 100% perfectly, there's no guarantee that they're going to change. No guarantee whatsoever. And so ultimately, in each situation, you get to count the cost of verbal abuse that you're facing. In other words, is it worth staying at this job when I've handled myself very well, but the person who is verbally abusing me is not going to change? Is it worth staying in, and I don't mean to downplay the importance of marriage, but I want you to understand, is it worth staying in this unhealthy situation and relationship, in a marriage even, when I have learned how to handle myself well and this person is still unwilling to change? The damage done by verbal abuse is no less real simply because it doesn't leave physical scars on your body. And I didn't get the quote. That was another thing I was going to add to this. Very interesting quote from Ellen White, and I will have to look it up if any of you are curious about it. But she says very plainly, no human being has a right to dominate another. And she's talking about in the marriage relationship, you know, husbands, by virtue of being male and everything the Bible says about male headship, she says, it does not give you the right to dictate to your wife, for instance, what she should think, feel, and so on. She upholds the basic equality of human beings, even in the marriage relationship. And the whole, how would I put it, the whole principle, concept, and basis of domination, that one person has the right because I'm older, or I've been through more, or I'm the man, or I'm whatever, that I have the right to tell you what to do, is based on Satan's principle of government and not God's. And the Bible makes that plain, but if I had looked it up, I'd share it with you. Ellen White has just a clear, succinct quote talking about that as well. Why did I get on that? Well, anyway, point being that at some point, if somebody's bought into the principles of Satan's kingdom, there is no great honor and heroics in you hanging around to be abused by them when they absolutely refuse to change. Now, the question of whether you can dissolve your marriage over it entirely might be beside the point, but certainly you can separate yourself. Get out of that house, get out of that situation, and get some healthy relating going on in your life, at the very least. So, disclaimer number one, you can do everything right, and you won't fix the other person. And the second disclaimer is this. If you happen to find yourself in a really entrenched, verbally abusive relationship, where things are pretty extreme, the things I'm going to suggest here that you can say are going to seem like, yeah, okay, that's a way to commit suicide. Right? If I said that, he would, or she would, or they would, or whatever it is, hit me, kill me, you know, whatever, dump me. And the truth is that that is entirely possible. Right? It is entirely possible that if you react and stand up for yourself in a situation where somebody has been able to run over you, that they will push back even harder, and you could get seriously hurt. So I just want to say that if and I don't know if this applies to any of you. It probably doesn't, but it may. And if it doesn't apply to you, if you share this with someone else, just keep this in mind as well, that if it's so scary to think about making changes in a relationship, you know, an entrenched abusive relationship, you may need to, rather than think about rehabilitating that relationship, you may need to think about ending it and or at least getting some good physical safe space between you and the abuser before you start in trying to say anything that is going to make them react really strongly. Is that clear enough? It's not necessarily safe to say some of the things that we're going to talk about saying in some situations, that you should get out of the house, go to a shelter, you know, whatever, and not hang around to get beat up. When King Saul was abusive to David, tried to kill him, you know, threw spears at him, David didn't hang around for that. He fled. Right? This was just plain...
It was more than verbal abuse.
Yes, it was more than verbal abuse. But it was good common sense. If you're in danger, you don't hang around and say, oh, well, you know, it's my duty to stay here and get killed. Unless you've been, you know, anointed by God to be the savior of the world, it is not your duty to stay here and get killed if you have any possible way of avoiding that. Does that make sense? The command, thou shalt not murder, also means thou shalt not stand around in front of the murderer's gun and goad him into pulling the trigger. You have responsibility to care for yourself as best you can. So this is... most of the suggestions that we're going to talk about are pretty well designed to be disarming, while at the same time to stand firm about your position and how you feel about situations. But if you're at all concerned about your safety, get away. If you have access to the internet, perhaps at a library, for instance, if somebody is in a situation where the controlling person in their house is so dangerous, they won't let them have friends, they won't let them, you know, have a book about how to get help. I did some searching online, and searching Google for verbal abuse planning your getaway brought up immediately some excellent resources to tell somebody how to physically escape from a dangerous situation safely. And anyway, so there's good resources out there that you can find if you needed that kind of help. I was just over talking with Teach, some of the people at Teach in Alturas, and they have a whole, you know, suite of resources. If somebody's in an abusive relationship, you can go there and they'll put you in a shelter and they'll keep you hidden and, you know, they provide you food and emergency assistance. So there's a lot of options available, at least even in this community, through Teach. So that's good to know as well. All right. So we're going to talk about some words and phrases that you can say when somebody is using their words to abuse you. And my suggestion is, if you happen to be in a situation where there's kind of an ongoing thing, experiment. You know, just pick one of these things and one issue and experiment with it. Because how you respond to your tone of voice, the delivery, if you will, has a big effect on how effective these things are. And you don't have to stop every instance of verbal abuse all at once in order to be successful at learning how to respond effectively. You can experiment with one thing, one situation that you face at a time. So how can you respond to the silent treatment? Right? Say you're in a situation where somebody is deliberately punishing you by not speaking to you, or they're withholding from you, and you're just sitting there stewing in your juices because they won't talk to you and you're trying to get them to talk. What's a useful way to respond to that? You can say, I'm feeling very bored with your company right now. And leave. And be gone as long as you want to be gone. Go do something that's interesting to you. In other words, get a life rather than hang around desperately trying to get that person to talk to you. It lets them know I have other interests. I have other people who will talk to me. I don't need you to communicate with me to make my life okay. Simple enough. That's the basic message is, I have better things to do than to hang around here and let you treat me this way. But if you say, I'm feeling very bored with your company, and leave, it's a disarming way to send the message that, you know, this silence is not really, you know, you can try to punish me, but I'm not going to be punished by your silence. How to respond to countering. You remember the story I told about the woman who started to say, sometimes I think when the weather changes from, you know, warm to cold in a short period of time, and her husband interrupted and said, it's not cold, it's cool. Right? That's countering. Here are some words or phrases you can say when someone counters you. You can say, he says, it's not cold, it's cool. So you say. And then disengage. Leave the room. Walk off the porch. Or, it's unanswerable, right? They can't say, I did not say, or, there's no way to come back to that. And it both says, just because you said it doesn't mean I agree with you. And it hands back to them, this is your belief, this is your statement. So it draws a clear line. You said it, you know, not me. I don't necessarily agree with you just because you contradicted me. All right, so that's a very simple thing you can say. So you say, and then go in the other room. You can say, thanks for sharing. Or this one will come out several times. Just because I love you, should I let you get away with that? Now, the strength of that is, it sends a warm message. Just because I love you, just because I care about you, I like you. So you're not just attacking the person. But it also addresses the issue, which is how you're talking to me right now. Should I let you get away with this? And again, disengage. Just walk away. They don't have to answer the question. You don't really want them to answer the question. You want them to think about, why did he say that to me? Why did she say that to me? What did I do that caused him or her to say, should I let you get away with this, and walk out of the room? When you ask questions, it's very powerful because questions make people think. Now, for instance, if you said, you're not going to get away with that, how is the person likely to respond?
Angry. I already did.
Yeah, I already did, and I am too, and I'm going to do it again. But when you ask a question, should I let you get away with this? They're going, well, should you or shouldn't you? Should you or shouldn't? And they're too busy thinking about whether they should have gotten away with it or not to continue to argue with you. So that's a really powerful. Yeah, you don't. And if they follow you, say, you know, I just wanted you to think about that, and I'll discuss it with you later, or, you know, I'll be happy to discuss it with you later is a good way of saying it, rather than saying I'm not going to talk about it right now. It's always good to say what you will do. So if they come back, yes, you should let me get away with it, say, I just wanted you to think about that, you know, I'll be happy to talk about that later. If it's clear that they're still just angry and trying to push it. Pardon?
Which they usually will be.
Well, maybe. Yeah, it easily could be. And the fact is, if you become a broken record saying, I'll be happy to talk about this later, I'll be happy to talk about this later, every time they come, I'll be happy to talk about this later, and you just keep walking away, they'll eventually say, well, this person is crazy, you know, they've become a broken record, and they'll stop pursuing you. All right. Another possible thing you could say is, it's not cold, it's cool, all right, is the thing. I'm wondering, now that you've contradicted me, do you feel more important? I'd just like you to think about that. And again, walk away and leave.
Or run.
Or run, right?
That's where someone's a little more subtle. Control freak.
Yes. Yes, but the fact is, what you're doing is you're stopping the conversation. All right, this person wants to pull you into an argument about whether it's cold or cool, and you're not going to go there. You're going to talk about how we're talking, rather than what we're talking. You know, the content of a conversation. And so, if it's somebody who just has a nasty habit of contradicting you, I mean, that's a pretty intense way of confronting it. But it makes them think again. They're going to go, well, do I feel more important or not? Well, I don't know. And they may be angry or frustrated, but when you walk away, they're left with themselves to think about, did that really help? Was that a wise way to say that? Was it worth it? Right? By the way, does delivery matter? If I said it like this, I'm wondering, now that you've contradicted me, do you feel more important? How well would that work? All right. But if you said, I'm wondering, now that you've contradicted me, do you feel more important? I'd just like you to think about that. And you left. How might that work? Better, right? Better possibility of it working. Discounting. Say the person is telling you, you're blowing things out of proportion. You're trying to start a fight. You feel too much. You take everything wrong. Again, some of the things you can say, thanks for sharing. And leave the room. Or, nice try. Or, so you say. Or one woman, I read her story. This lady had her whole story of getting involved with this guy and how she escaped. And she would always just tell him, I don't have to listen to this. And she would just walk out of the room. And he'd follow her from room to room, and she'd just say, I don't have to listen to this. And whenever it was just baloney, you know, it was just an accusation, it was wild. He would always accuse her of having a boyfriend and all kinds of crazy things. If she was ever 5 minutes out of his sight, he accused her of being unfaithful to him. And she would just say, I don't have to listen to this. And walk out of the room. Or you could try, do you hear yourself? Again, what does that do for you? It's a question. So it makes the person stop and think. The focus is on how they're talking to you. And again, you disengage. Do you hear yourself? And you disengage. It says, I'm not comfortable with the way you're speaking to me. But it doesn't say, don't you dare talk to me that way. Ask the question. Gives them an opportunity to think. One of the more creative ones that I ran across here was, aha! So that's what you believe. I had somebody says, you're blowing things out of proportion. You can turn it back and hand it to them and say, ah, so that's what you believe. And they'll say, yeah. And you say, I see. Great mystery. And disengage. Walk away. All right? Because when somebody is discounting you, they're trying to tell you what you should think or feel or what's wrong with you. And what you want to recognize and you want them to recognize is it's all their opinion. There's no truth or validity to it necessarily. It's all their opinion. So, don't attempt to carry on the conversation after that. Just let them know that's their opinion. What if somebody is making disparaging jokes about you in front of other people? Right, we can come back to this one. I'm wondering, now that you've made fun of me, do you feel more important? And leave the room. You're a little safer saying that in that situation because you're in the company of other people, right? Because they're making jokes to other people. It's not a direct, how dare you do that to me? But it does say, I noticed that, and I don't think it's fun, and I'm not going to stay around here to listen to it. But by asking a question, you make them think. Now that you've made fun of me, do you feel more important? I'd like you to think about that. Or you could use the other one that we suggested earlier. Just because I love you, am I supposed to let you get away with that? And disengage. Right, somebody's making jokes about you. We talked about walking and diverting, you know, where you may ask a perfectly legitimate question, like, where did the $40,000 go? And the abuser tries to change the subject. Well, what are you worried about? You have enough to spend.
No, I don't.
Well, what are some options? If you say, no, I don't, what are you likely to get back?
Yes, you do.
All right? You've immediately hooked into their fight. And they can fight with you now forever about whether you do or don't have enough money. And you never get the answer to where the $40,000 went. So, what are some things you can say? You have enough to spend? Probably so. And what did I ask? And whatever they come back with, you say, and what did I ask? I don't have to answer your questions. Nice try. And what did I ask? Or you can go back to the original question, and where did the $40,000 go? The advantage of asking, and what did I ask, is if they actually will repeat back to you your question, you have a much better chance of getting the answer. Do you understand what happens there? If they will actually break down and say, you asked me where the $40,000 went, you have a much better chance of getting the answer than if they will never even acknowledge your question. So by becoming a broken record of, and what did I ask? And what did I ask? Now, they may never tell you, but you're not getting engaged in their fight. And you've got them on the run trying to think of things to say instead of you being on the run trying to think of things to say. So you can say, probably so, or so you say, or I'm sure it feels that way. And what did I ask? Or, and where did the $40,000 go? If you're totally flabbergasted, right, totally messed up, and what they said leaves you speechless, you can always say this. I'm not sure how to react to this. I'll have to get back to you and leave. For instance, a husband came in from working out in the yard and asked his wife what there is to eat. And she started to make a list of things that she had left in the refrigerator. Oh, I left a salad in the refrigerator. And he says, what makes you think I want a salad? And she's totally stunned. You know, she's suddenly going, because he asked a question, she's suddenly going, well, what does make me, I don't think that he wants a salad. Why would he think that I think he wants a salad? And she's off on all this stuff. None of that is the issue, right? The issue is, he doesn't have any particular right or reason to be yelling at her and making an accusation like that, that she wants him to eat salad or thinks that he wants a salad. In that situation, totally stuck, you can all say, I'm not sure how to react to this. I'll have to get back to you. Right? Because he asked a question. What makes you think I want a salad? I'm not sure how to react to that. So I'll get back to you on it. Or, the other one that works in almost any situation, a couple others that is, now that you've yelled at me, do you feel more important? I'd just like you to think about that. Or, the other one, just because I love you, am I supposed to let you get away with this? If the person comes chasing you, one of the things that you can say is, I love you too much to argue. I love you too much to argue. So, go ahead.
Maybe I should interrupt.
That's okay.
So you said something like, my hearing's not that hard.
My hearing's not that hard. Well, if they're yelling at you, that could work effectively in a, you know, in a lighthearted situation where the person could recognize, okay, I'm yelling, you know, here. Any other reflections? How would you take that if somebody said that to you?
That's still a testing one.
All right, it's pushing it a little bit.
Oh, that's not a diffuser, that's a fire.
The danger there is it's kind of a gouge at the other person, you know, that you think it's subtly saying you think you need to yell that loud to get me to hear. Yeah, so it's a statement as much about the other person as it is about my hearing in that situation. Yeah, but What if they're saying things like, you think you're so smart, or you always have to have the last word? You can always say, I know, or so you say, or nice try, or I bet it seems that way, or so that's what you believe, or I see, or this lady's one, I don't have to listen to this, and leave the room. What about if somebody's criticizing and judging you? And they say, you're crazy. Aha, so that's what you believe. Or, nice try. Or, so you say. Or, this one really drives me crazy. I know. What's wrong with you? You could all say, do you hear yourself? Okay, when it's a question, when somebody accuses you with a question, it takes a different set of responses than when they make a statement. If I say, you're crazy, you can say, I know. But if I say, what's wrong with you? You can't say, I know. Right? It takes a response that either asks a question back or goes a different direction. So when somebody says, what's wrong with you? It's always, do you hear yourself? Should I let you get away with this just because I love you? Always ask a question back to a question. Where if it's a statement, you can generally, in a subtle way, just put up a, it's not a roadblock, but you can absorb it. You can say, I know, I bet it feels that way. Must be hard for you. All right. What if this person says, I can't believe you did that again. Thanks for sharing that. Or, why didn't you keep the fire going? Why didn't you, whatever it is. Now that you've yelled at me, do you feel better? Can't you remember to? I'm not sure how to react to that. I'll have to get back to you. When are you ever going to get it right? Just because I love you, am I supposed to let you get away with this? I always focus back on the process and not the fight that they're trying to get going. Trivializing. You remember the story about the woman who was painting and got this effect finally that she'd been trying to get for months. And when she told her husband about it, he said, oh, isn't it nice to have something to do in the daytime? How could she respond to that? You've heard quite a few examples here. Some of you have taken notes. Anything we've said so far, what could she use? Isn't it nice to have something to do in the daytime? All right. That's a creative, one we haven't even talked about, but it certainly is, which indicates that I think it is nice and that what I'm doing is worthwhile, even if you don't. Any other suggestions? Okay, what question would you ask?
Do the question again.
Isn't it nice to have something in the daytime, to do in the daytime?
You think.
Well, they already told you what you think, but you could say, because it's a statement disguised as a question, you could say, so you say. Right? Which acknowledges, well, that's your opinion, that I'm happy for you to have your opinion. But if you ask a question back, you could say, do you hear yourself? Right? Isn't it nice to have something to do in the daytime? Dripping with sarcasm. So you say, do you hear yourself? Or, I'm wondering, now that you've made fun of my work or trivialized what I was doing, do you feel more important? Because isn't that exactly what's going on there? Precisely what's going on is, what I'm doing is important, and what you're doing is unimportant. So you simply acknowledge that, and you disengage. Now that you've, put down my idea, do you feel more important? I'd just like you to think about that. I want to talk about it now and leave the room. You could always say, I'm not sure how to react to what you just said. Or, just because I love you, should I let you get away with that? Undermining. If somebody says to you, who cares? Do you hear yourself? Who asked you? Just because I like you, am I supposed to let you get away with that? Or if they say, you wouldn't get it. Now that you've said that, do you feel more important? Or you remember the gentleman who told his wife when she told him about her book idea? He said, I can't think of anyone who'd be interested. Thanks for sharing that. I don't agree, but it's always good to know how other people view things. Or it's always good to know how you view things. How about threats? Well, if there is physical harm imminent, flee. Don't answer them. But if it's just threats, you can say, I'm wondering, now that you've threatened me, do you feel more important? I'd just like you to think about that. Or, just because I love you, am I supposed to let you get away with that? Or, I'm not sure how to react to that threat. I'll have to get back to you. Or, do you hear yourself? Or, what if somebody said, if you don't, I'll get a divorce. Thanks for sharing that. Wouldn't work for me, but it's good to know what you think about that. Or, this one is from a parenting thing, but it would work. I'll love you wherever you live. Huh? Yeah, if somebody starts threatening, in one story that I was reading, this lady had moved out, and the guy kept calling her and threatened to commit suicide if she didn't come back. And she said, when I finally offered to help him, he quit that threat. Now, that's a little extreme, but the point is, in a lot of cases, if you don't make a big reaction to it, you could say, well, that's an option, and just drop it. If somebody, you know, threatens you with something like that. Name calling. Somebody's calling you names. You can say, like the one woman we talked about, I don't have to listen to this, and leave the place. Or, thanks for sharing, and leave the place. Or, all the others work as well. I'm not sure how to react to this. I'll have to think about it and get back to you. Or, do you hear yourself? Or, just because I like you, should I let you talk to me this way? Ordering. To tell you a story, Jim Fay is a parenting guy I've been listening a bunch to lately. And this situation has turned on its head a little bit because he was the kid and he was talking to his mother. But he came in and said, iron my pants. You know what his mother's response was?
Do it yourself.
No, she said, what? Iron my pants. What? Iron my pants. What? And she kept saying what until he said, iron my pants, please. But when someone is communicating outrageous messages to you, that they have no right to communicate that way, they're ordering you around as though you don't have any mind of your own or any ideas of your own or any will of your own, and you just exist to serve them. When someone is treating you in an outrageous way like that, it's perfectly appropriate to act like it doesn't make sense to you. What? 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 I mean, if some stranger came up and did that to you, isn't that what you'd say? If somebody walked in the door here and said, iron my pants, I'd go, what? Because that just doesn't make any sense. So that's always an option, to simply say, what? Or, nice try. Or, do you hear yourself? Right? Iron my pants. Do you hear yourself? Please iron my pants. Or, I'm happy to help when requested nicely. Just become a broken record. I'm happy to help when requested nicely. Now, there are certain situations, if you're in the military, you're under orders, all right? And you have to be able to take orders. And that's part of the bargain. That's part of the agreement. And there may be certain situations in a work environment where that's an appropriate way for somebody to address you in the work environment. It may not always be appropriate, though, and someone may misuse their right to order you around. Those are some options. You could say, I respond to polite requests, or I respond better to polite requests. if the order is stated in the plural, we're leaving now, which really means you come with me. We're leaving now. You can always say, well, that's not what I had in mind. Or you could say, that's an option. Or you could say, nice try. Or I'm happy to go or come or comply when requested nicely. Or I respond to polite requests. What about denial and forgetting? Well, in this case, it isn't usually something the person said. They just don't remember having said it. But if they said, for instance, I don't remember that, how sad not to remember. Now, there may be nothing you can do about it. If they're going to deny remembering it, that you know, and insist they've forgotten it, you can't make them admit it. But you can tell them in fairly polite words, in essence, I remember it, and it did matter. And, you know, I'm not going to ignore this. And simply saying, how sad not to remember, communicates a lot of that. What if the person doesn't say, I don't remember? If they just say, I never said that. Well, there's always, nice try. Or, just because I love you, should I let you get away with this? Or, so you say. I never said that, so you say. All right, so, some useful things. What do you think?
Yeah.
Good.
I can practice in front of the mirror.
Yes, and that's one of the things I was going to point out, is if you know of a situation you're going to go into where it's likely that somebody's going to use one of these different categories of verbal abuse on you, you can practice ahead of time. And you can always use the, I'm not sure how to react to that. I mean, there's almost no situation where that would not work. I'm not sure how to react to that. I'll have to get back to you and walk away. But yes, you can practice because not everything fits with everything. But a lot of them are pretty universal and you could use them in a lot of situations. So it's a good idea to either practice in the mirror or do some role playing with somebody. If it's a mild situation that you're in where somebody just has a bad habit of saying some things that are demeaning, you may even be able to practice with the person who's doing it. Right? You can sit down with your husband or wife and say, you know, when you say such and such, I'm always flabbergasted and I never know what to say. So can we practice ahead of time? You say it to me just like you do when you're all flustered, and I'm going to practice what I'm going to say. And you can get yourself ready for the situation when things are bad and somebody's frustrated and upset and they start to tear into you and you're all prepared and you just totally disarm them and chop them down to size and they go, ah, thanks, y'all. I'm glad it didn't work this time. You can prepare in advance. Questions? Make the other people think. Very hard to argue with. Always try to disengage by leaving the space where they are. You don't necessarily have to go to the next county, but even just leaving the room says, nice try, and I don't have to listen to this. And go to the next room. Lets them know in a subtle way that I'm not going to stay around for you to mistreat me this way with words. And the goal is always to focus on the process, the conversation, how we're talking, and not get drawn into the issue that they're trying to raise. You know, you're always accusing me, you're attacking me. I don't have to listen to this. And just disengage and walk away.
So, if you were in different relationships, like, say, loved one or a boss, then the same answer would work?
In a lot of cases, let's think about that a little bit. Most of these illustrations came from, you know, family relationships. If you're a child and your parents are verbally abusing you, could you use a lot of these things still?
Probably not without getting in trouble.
Well, but you could say, Dad, just because I love you, am I supposed to just take this? Now, you may not stop him, but he's going to think. And because you include the love message in there, it disarms a lot of that anger and a lot of the other stuff. Now, there are some situations, again, for kids, where Yeah, it'd be dangerous to try to say any of these things. Chances are that some of them would still work pretty well. But, you know, if it's really that bad, you'd like to think that some other adults in that kid's life would notice and be a resource. Because there are kids who, you know, obviously when it gets bad enough, what do kids do? Yeah. And it's really sad that adults have not looked out for those kids and it gets so bad that they run away. But that's always an option, right? You can always somehow get physically, geographically get away from the abuser. It isn't easy. It just isn't easy. Control, domination is the mark of the beast. Isn't it? I mean, we tie it up very closely with the Sabbath issue. But the whole issue there is you will worship on the day we tell you to worship on or we will kill you. It goes all the way back to Satan's agenda. Unless you run God's government God's way, unless you run relationships God's way, which is based on love and mutual respect and freedom and honoring each other, the only other option is you will be controlled by me. Because if you don't control, if I don't control you, you're going to get me. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world other than God's way of love. And control and domination is the mark of the beast. That is, in principle, what is behind Babylon, Satan, his kingdom, his government. Everything that we believe will happen in the last days, it's just the outplay of the same thing that's going on in a verbally abusive relationship. So this is no light issue. It's perfectly ridiculous to preach about the Sabbath and the mark of the beast and the end of the world and go home and be verbally abusive to your family. And that's just the most... Yes, thank you, dear. That's just the most ridiculous... Thank you for sharing that. That's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Because if the beast is still alive in my heart, what do I think I'm doing when I go out there hunting him with a big gun? I'm a phony. If I can't tame the beast at home, why do I want to put billboards out on the highway talking about the beast? How can we call ourselves God's children if by our words we seek to dominate and control?
Good question. I'll give you a situation.
All right. You want to run some situations?
Sure. Very quick.
Okay.
We get family get-togethers. My girls are all grown, but they tease me every once in a while. And they'll say, "I remember on Sabbath, Dad would say 5 minutes, and I'm leaving." So as I being.
I don't know. What was the context? Why were you saying 5 minutes and I'm leaving? There's nothing wrong with saying what you're going to do. What you need to do is give them some options.
What's wrong is when you tell them what they have to do.
Yeah. You can go with me or stay home if you're happy with either of those options. You can say, I'm leaving in 5 minutes, and there's two ways to come with me, dressed and not dressed. Right? And, you know, feel free to come with your clothes on or feel free to come with your clothes in a bag. And, you know, get dressed in the car or whatever. But for you to say what you're doing is perfectly appropriate. Sure. And the reason why they didn't like it is because they couldn't argue with you. Yeah. Anybody else? Questions? Situations? Things you're wondering about? What about in a work situation? Would any of these things, some of you probably have that in your minds and could talk about it. Would any of this work in a work situation? Right? You could say, just because I like you, should I let you get away with that? You say that to a boss or an employer? Employer, or somebody else who's dressing you down in some situation. All right, well, good. I hope this is some practical stuff. We'll move on now. But I was kind of excited about this. I need to do some role-playing myself. Because I have an awful lot of verbally abusive phrases ingrained very well in my mind. And when I'm all uptight, they come out my mouth. And Kriya doesn't always know how to respond to them. Generally, I would say she responds pretty well, but a lot of the times I think she's just sort of stunned and doesn't know what to think or say. And so I want to sit down, we're going to sit down and practice some. Now, Kriya, when I say this kind of thing, here's how you can totally disarm me. Because if it doesn't work, then you don't go there. The problem with verbal abuse is, if it works, then you keep doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Which points out, what you did was not ask me a question. What you did was accuse me of being stupid. Which is similar to what the one I used in Here Over and Over. I'm not sure how to react to that.